Amen. I'm full with a word tonight, and I'm excited to release it, and we'll see how it comes out. The Lord has been speaking to me on this message, this prophetic message, for a while now, and He's been giving me crazy downloads for several days now. The word that the Lord has put on my heart, and yeah, let's thank Kevin for doing worship tonight. Amen. But yeah, the Lord has been downloading this message, this prophetic direction in my heart for a while. And as He's been giving me that, this direction, it's been causing friction. Isn't it crazy that whenever the Lord speaks, I said this on Thursday night, but whenever God speaks, like, God's okay with getting into an altercation with your flesh. But it's in the altercation that there can be an alteration. If you submit to and yield and surrender to God and the word that He's giving, it can change something in your life. It can silence your flesh, and it can motivate your spirit. Amen? But one of the other things that the Lord was speaking to me was today, He was saying, Ryan, He says, when I give you direction, it's going to cause some friction. But how many of you know that there's a lot of, watch, when there's friction, there always seems to be a place that we can discover direction. But we can also experience friction when we receive direction, because sometimes we don't want to take the direction that God's giving. Right? Sometimes it's not appealing to the flesh to be led by the Spirit. But can I tell you something? We need to stop being held back by our flesh, and we need to crucify our flesh, and we need to be led by the Spirit. Because God wants to take you places that you've never been. He wants you to see things you've never seen. He wants you to experience things you've never experienced. But you have to lay on the altar sometimes what you received in a past season if you're ever going to receive provision for your future. Did you hear what I just said? Sometimes you've got to lay something that you received, even though it was a blessing. Right? Sometimes we get comfortable where we've been, and it hinders and holds us back from where God wants us to go. And sometimes we've got to lay on the altar something that we've experienced in our past if we're ever to receive what we need for our future. Look at Abraham and Isaac. He was willing to lay something down. It was a blessing. He was willing to lay it down. But when he was willing to lay something down, he picked up a brand new experience that changed and altered his view of God and his life forever. Did you hear what it has said? And sometimes we've got to be willing to let go of something if we're ever going to embrace something new. Come on, somebody. Sometimes we, watch this, we are regurgitating a praise over something that has already been accomplished, when God actually wants us to get to a place where we are actually giving Him praise out of expectation for the new thing that's going to come. Did you hear what I just said? God wants, there's two types of praise that I've been fixated on lately, and I didn't plan on going here, but here's a little nugget before we dive into the true message. And that's this. There's a praise that we give to God, I believe, out of expectation. We give Him a thanks. We give Him a praise for what we're convinced He's going to do, even though we haven't seen it with our eyes yet. Then there's a praise that we give God when He demonstrates Himself. And can I tell you something? I've always found myself giving God praise for something I'm expecting Him to do. Now, I'm not saying you lose sight of the goodness of God and what He's done for you in the past. But sometimes we get complacent and we become comfortable with where we are when God wants us to stir a hope and an expectation in us for where we're going to go in Him. And God wants us to give Him a praise that stirs an expectation where we thank Him in advance for what He's going to do. And we give Him that praise out of expectation because we're convinced that He's going to do what He spoke. Can I tell you something? God's word will always define His action. Did you hear what I just said? And we need to receive his word with joy and be expecting him to manifest what he speaks in his word. Because God's not a liar. And if you look in Genesis 1, he spoke and something manifested itself. So when he speaks and you don't see, you should give him praise out of expectation because you are confident that he's going to manifest and demonstrate what his word defined to you. Do you get what I'm saying? So you give God praise. Now listen, what I meant earlier, because some of you might be caught up on this, we try to regurgitate a praise for what he's done when I really believe we need like fresh manna to give God praise for the word that he provided for us today that points to tomorrow and what it's going to look like. We're so caught up in giving God praise for what he's done, and we should. But we also need to find ourselves giving him a praise because we are looking forward to what he's going to do. And we give him praise out of expectation. And can I tell you something? When you give God praise out of expectation, when you give God praise out of believing and trusting in him, signs, miracles, and wonders follow. That means your praise of expectation will lead you to a praise because of his demonstration. That's good, right? Come on, somebody. And we need to get ourselves to a place where we understand that God wants us, good Lord. God wants us to give him a praise. I felt like the Lord's like, just throw your notes away. But I felt like the Lord said this. He said, Ryan, he said, I want you to get to a place where you are giving me a praise as if the demonstration has already happened. Because he says, Ryan, you are so convinced that you're going to see what I spoke to your heart, that you thank me in advance for what I'm going to do because you're confident that I'm going to do it. I love this because, watch, God's love will find where you are. God's love will reach to you and go forward and come to where you are. But it's God's word that will define the steps that you need to take to get out of it. Did you hear what I just said? There is times where God, watch this, God's love will meet you where you are. God's love will find you where you are. But can I tell you something? Out of his love, he speaks words to shift something in you so that you don't settle for where you are. But he will speak to actually define the steps that you need to take out of faith and expectation, believing that every step you take, he takes. Convergence is when two things meet. And can I tell you something? The Bible says, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. So we need to get to a place where we thank him for drawing near to us and coming to us and finding us where we are. But then can I tell you something? God will give you a word to point where he wants you to be, and he will also define the steps that you need to take out of cooperating with God, the steps that you need to take to step out of the muck and the mire that you're in and into the palace that he has destined and prophesied to you through the word. And can I tell you something? The Bible says this. Jesus says, those who hear my sayings and do them, I'll liken them unto a man who built on the rock. Watch this. Belief is more of an expression than it is a confession. Did you hear what I just said? Yes. Watch this. If I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that Christ raised from the dead, I'll be saved, right? But watch this. So there is power in confession, but I'm not here to preach that right now. Part of belief is confession, but I also believe that when you believe God, you show it. There's a demonstration that comes forth from you. And you look like, even in the midst of the furnace, you look like someone that believes in the fourth man that's in the fire. Because you are fully convinced of what God has spoken, and you're fully convinced that it's going to be done. And it actually, it looks like something. part of the fruits of the Spirit, faith. Can I tell you something? There is a place where, yes, we confess in faith and we give God praise out of an expectation that he's going to do what he says, but there's a place where it shows in the life that we live. Can I tell you something? There should be a lifestyle in you that expresses what you believe, what you're putting your trust in, and what you're convinced of. To where you live a life and people believe you have it because you believe you do, even though you don't tangibly have it in your pocket right now. Where there's a smile on your face and the joy of the Lord is all over you. All hell is breaking loose around you. Things are attacking you, but you are fully persuaded. You are confident in the word of the Lord and confident in your God to demonstrate and to perform the word he spoke. That whenever the test and the trial comes, it doesn't even look like you're going through anything. Because you're in this place of confidence, this place of expectation. You know God's not a liar, and if he spoke it, he's done it, but he's going to do it again. Can I tell you something? Your circumstance can be a convergent zone for God because you are a convergent zone for God. And if you're in the midst of a circumstance trusting God, you will actually create a space for God to move on your behalf in the midst of your circumstance. Because watch this. Come on, somebody. God will find you in your mess and give you a message, give you a word that you put your hope in, but you're not really even putting your hope in the word. You're putting your hope in the one who spoke the word to perform the word. Amen. To where it actually looks like something. You're moving. And that's why God's word is direction, and it will cause friction. And sometimes the friction comes first to sharpen you. If God wants us to sharpen one another, he's going to sharpen us with this word. Amen. And then whenever God speaks his word, it's actually to stir a faith in you, but also a fight in you. Can I tell you something? When somebody fights, it looks like something. Look at Hannah whenever she was praying. She believed in the Lord enough, even in the midst of her barrenness, to trust God and pray, God, give me a son. It looked like something, man. She was exuberating this place of prayer where they thought she was drunk. I don't know about you, but I want people to look at me when I'm in a circumstance and think I've lost my mind. I want people to know that, yes, watch, Hannah was so drunk in the truth and in faith that God was going to do something, but she wasn't physically drunk with wine. She was trusting God, and she got intoxicated. What does it look like to be so overwhelmed with confidence and so consumed with the word of God that you become intoxicated by the word of God and so intoxicated by God's love and his goodness and his strength and his power. You become so intoxicated, so overwhelmed by it, so confident in it, like Paul was. I am persuaded nothing will separate me from the love of God. When you are confident in something, or I should say this, when you're confident in someone, you're not easily persuaded by things that come against that thing. Would you want to understand what I see? You're not supposed to be moved by what you see. Commit to what you've heard, believing that God is committed to you and he's committed to what he spoke. And be persuaded that he is love and love never fails. So even though it looks like he has, it's impossible for him to fail. And if he spoke it, he's going to do it. So what does it look like to be so intoxicated by the word, so intoxicated by God's goodness, so overwhelmed, so drunk, you become so sober to the enemy? And what I mean by that is you become so aware of his tactics. You once were deceived and intoxicated by deception, but now you have fallen in love with the word and have confidence in the word that his tactics do not draw you or persuade you. But if anything, you're just aware that it's the enemy. And when you become aware of the enemy attacking you, you can be stirred with joy, knowing that you must be an attack to him. Because watch this, when God finds you where you are and gives you a word, and it gives you a defined direction, it might cause friction in you because you don't want to do it, or it might cause friction in you because you don't know how it's going to be done, and you obsess over your inability rather than being overwhelmed by his ability. So where you stand and say, okay, God's word has revealed to me something is off, and I am determined to stand and move when he tells me to move and stand when he tells me to stand. And I am determined to be diligent and be determined to just seek him and pray and praise until I see the demonstration of what I'm giving him praise for out of expectation. Do you hear me? Watch this. God wants you to be so aware of him in the direction that he has for you, that you become so sober of the tactics that are trying to take you out and cause you to fall short of what God wants to do in you, called your destiny, what he wants to do through you and what he wants you to reach. But I love this, because after all of this, God's word also does something that I think is awesome. God's word reveals to you his standard. It reveals to you what he honors. Because watch, he honors his word above his name. Because this is going to mess with your mind, but when he commits to and demonstrates what he spoke first to you, and you had faith for it, and when you had faith for it, you actually opened yourself up to be a convergent zone for God to do that thing. And one of the things that I believe God wanted me to share with you right now is that some of you are on a collision course with your destiny, and things that have been spoken over you years ago, you're about ready to converge with in this season. Because you have been determined, and you are confident, and you've stayed persistent. And out of that persistency, you're about ready to see the prosperity of the Lord in your life like never before. Yes, you have been reconciled back to the glory of God. Bill talked about union last night, and I celebrate that message. But how many of you know that there's accounts sometimes that are in our life that are off, and it doesn't look like we're having union with God? But can I tell you something? Union is a position. Unity is a position, but it's also a right and a privilege that you have. It's access to something that you fell short of, but now you have access to it. And you put your trust in it. And his word defines what his fullness is that you've been reconciled back to. And you as a son can come boldly to that throne room of grace where his glory is, his fullness is that you've been reconciled back to, and ask him anytime in confidence for things that you need in his fullness to overtake areas in your life that are falling short of his desire. Whoa. See, God's word shows you what you should settle for. What should I settle for? Everything you've been reconciled back to. What have you been reconciled back to? His fullness, which is his glory. What is it? Isaiah 43 verse 7. It says in part of that verse, it says that you were created for his glory. I believe that's to honor his name, celebrate his name, and glorify his name by representing him and be an imitator of him as a dear child. But I also believe that we were created by his fullness and abundance for his fullness and abundance. Isn't it crazy? God created the garden, created and molded the earth and the heavens and stuff before he created man. He went and prepared a place for them, and then created them for it. They fell from it. And I love how Jesus says, I go to prepare a place. What was he doing? Taking on the DNA of his father and going and preparing things out of God's glory that he had authority in. He established and reestablished and prepared a place for you so that when you became born again, he restored you back to that place that he re-prepared for you. Well, that doesn't seem to make sense. Isaiah 43, verse 7, he created you for his glory. Romans 3, 23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But it says that God, through his Son, in 2 Corinthians 5, 18, reconciled you back to himself through his Son. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, the fullness of God was put in Christ. And out of that fullness, Jesus bore the image of the first among many. He didn't have to be restored back to the fullness of God. He was given the fullness of God and died, and on the third day rose to reconcile you back to that fullness. But before he did that, he gave you an example of what you're called to and what you are given authority to operate in. So God's word points to and defines his standard for your life. The thing that you should settle for. It reveals to you what you were created for. It reveals to you what the Father, through his Son, reconciled you back to. So that when you're in the midst of a storm, you're already reconciled back to the fullness of God. But whenever you're in a storm and the enemy has damaged an account in your life, God wants you to have confidence that he's going to reconcile that thing by drawing it into his goodness, which he applauds because he values you. Amen. And that's his word pointing out to you the steps of a righteous man that you've got to take by faith. But it's his word that also points out what you're to take with violence because it's yours. And that this is the things of the kingdom. That's mine. Hallelujah. Can I tell you something? The enemy will always attack the very areas that God wants to touch with his kingdom and build something with you. And when you're attacked, you've got to get to a place where you have confidence in the covenant that God made with you and that you have become one with Christ. And if the fullness of God is in Christ that you once fell short of because of sin, when Christ is brought into your life and forgives you, you are now, like Bill said, reconciled, one with Christ. Celebrate union. But can I tell you something? There's things sometimes that are off, that the word of God that points to the glory of God, the glory of God points out and shows you this is off in your life. And that's where you need to believe me, son. That's where you need to trust me. You need to know you have dual citizenship. You're on this earth, but you can step into that glory room anytime you want by faith because you're one with it. And you've been reconciled back to it. And on earth, you call things to be that are in the fullness of God, but not in that circumstance. And now you become an ambassador for yourself and others because he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. That's a different message. We get to minister reconciliation. But if you have dual citizenship, what's that mean? Paul says that he's seated in heavenly places with Christ. Seated. He says, I'm an ambassador on earth of heaven. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When a believer actually believes God in the midst of the storm out of expectation, he draws from what God has given him access to, which is his fullness. And you are actually used as a son. But you are actually using your right as a son to bring heaven to earth through your faith. To where now there's a convergence zone because of you. There's a collision course between heaven and earth because of your faith. Your dual citizenship and your confidence. And you boldly come into the throne room of grace and saying, God, right now this person needs a hip, so to speak. Or right now, God, my bills are more than my finances, and I need there to be a shift and a change. Amen. And I know you're not my sugar daddy, but Father, I thank you that you are my daddy. And you have reconciled me back to the kingdom. And it is your good pleasure to give me the things of the kingdom. And I'm believing, God, for you to move. And you know what? The father looks at his son and his daughters and says, "We'll move. What do you want to do about it?" God's been revealing things to me within this season. There's a confidence that we have to have in the Father to move. But can I tell you something? We also have to have confidence in God to move us. Because we're to co-equal, we're to cooperate with Jesus. And as he moved on the earth, we are to move like that too. And we put all of the responsibility on God when we have a dual citizenship here on this earth. We overlook our authority. Do you know one of the word definitions for authority is permission? Permission to do what? Take back permission that you've given to the enemy. Tell the enemy where he has to go. And to bind and loose on earth. And to go into the access of heaven, so to speak. That's a realm, and it's real. And you can pray from that place to the circumstance, because the circumstance always looks different from a heavenly perspective. And you pray for that thing to shift according to his kingdom. But it's yours as well. But you're on earth. But you're seated in his fullness. Sorry, cameraman. You're going to have to do it again. You're standing on earth, but you're seated in heaven. And God says, "I have given you authority. I've given you permission. I've given you access to take this thing from the earth, from the heaven, and by faith release it on this earth, just like Jesus did." You can be the convergent zone, and if you're the one in the circumstance, your circumstance is going to collide with what's in you. Hello? And whenever there's a collision, things are altered and things are shifted and things are changed, and Jesus always wins. One of the things that I do is I do ministry finances for a ministry. I won't mention it. Pastor knows who it is, but I do ministry finances. And what's crazy is I have to do this QuickBooks thing called reconciliations reports. And I hate when I'm like two pennies off, let alone hundreds of dollars. I'm like, "Oh God, what did I do wrong?" But can I tell you something? I'm the one that has access to 2 points, the bank account and the QuickBooks. I have access to both. Do you know what's sad, Pastor? We don't operate in the other dimension that we have access to because we get overwhelmed by the one on the earth. And we get so overwhelmed by the circumstance, so overwhelmed by the problem, that we forget what we're connected to and reconciled back to. And now we are in spiritual poverty, blaming God, rather than being an ambassador on the earth, bringing the things of heaven to this earth. I hope this is making sense. I did reconcile the 2 cents, because watch this. I hate sitting there in two accounts. You know what's crazy? The Lord spoke this to me. He said, "Ryan, the bank account's always the same." She's here. Siri's here. Well, hello there. But watch this. He said, "Ryan," he says, "I'm always, the bank account's always right. There was some type of error that you did or did not type in to be 2 cents over, 2 cents under. And I don't want to hit a discrepancy thing. I want 2 cents to be fixed." So I have to go back to the bank account and say, "Okay, where's the problem? Where's the problem?" And guess what happens? The bank account reveals the problem on QuickBooks. Sometimes be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. We get moved by what we see when sometimes we need to say, Papa, I'm not going to just wait for you in your love to find me out where I'm at, but I'm going to come and seek you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. I'm going to seek you, God. I'm going to go to the bank account. I've been reconciled back to it, but there's something that's off here, and that's not okay. That's not okay. So God, I'm being moved by this and I'm anxious, but you said be anxious for nothing. So I'm coming to you in prayer. Settle my anxiety and help me to see clearly what to do to fix this thing. Because we sometimes pray, God, fix it. When he says, I've given you authority here on this earth. Amen. It's part of what you were reconciled back to when you said yes to Jesus, authority. He didn't change his mind on dominion. We lost it, but God's brought us back to it. Right? So when we go to that heavenly account, what we're doing is we're saying, God, what do I do? And sometimes what we do, how many of you been here? God, fix it. And he says, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Why are you punked out? Why are you being bullied out of your purpose? Why are you being bullied out of your function and cowarding and just trying to hide behind your dad? Well, he's my refuge, my fortress, you go into a fortress to get strong. You go back to the fortress to get ammunition. You go back to the fortress to be built back up. The fortress can't fight the battle for you, even though, yes, God fights battles for you. But the fortress is like, man, come to me and get what you need and go back out and fight. And what's awesome is when you said yes to Jesus, he reconciled you back to the arsenal of heaven to destroy everything that's trying to come against you here on this earth. But in prayer, we have to sometimes remind ourselves of that. And sometimes when we pray, we're asking God, just fix the problem. And yes, he does supernaturally, spiritually, with his power, change things. But can I tell you something? Sometimes what he wants to significantly change is you and your perspective of the battle. Did you hear what I just said? Sometimes what God needs to do is to provide your soul with what it needs to change what it chooses to believe. Because when you're on earth and you're overwhelmed by the circumstance, you believe the circumstance is going to overtake you and win. But when you get a heavenly perspective, it always points to you winning. And yes, God is your refuge and your fortress, but that's not a place to cower out. If anything, God wants you to come to him and be strengthened in him. David encouraged himself in the Lord, but there were still battles he had to fight, but God empowered him to win. You've been reconciled back to the power of Jesus, the power of the Spirit, and the Spirit is in you. And things that you couldn't do without the Spirit, listen, things that you could not do without the Spirit, you now can do. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yes, God wants you to have hope that he can do all things, but God wants you to come to the throne room and he does something in his grace called transformation. Transforms your mind and changes things inside of you so that belief is not just a confession, it becomes an expression in the midst of the battle. That not only are you believing God to do something, you're actually believing signs, miracles, and wonders are going to follow you. That are actually walking and doing. Do you get what I'm trying to say? I'm not taking away from Daddy being our rescuer. But can I tell you something? We want rescued, but we don't want empowered. When being empowered and having a shift in perspective, is the Father truly rescuing you? Man, because let me move on, because watch this. We are in one union with Jesus. But can I tell you something? Sometimes our mind is the account that needs to be reconciled. What's that? It's all 5 cents. Yeah. Sometimes it's like the whole $100 It's like your brain. And God's like, I didn't change. Find out what's off. And me and you will work together to adjust and bring alignment. Watch this. I'll read it in a second, but in Amos chapter 7, verse 7 and 8, it talks about a plumb line. That God has given a vision of a plumb line. And what I think is crazy is that's about God was establishing a standard. And can I tell you something? You don't know what is off unless you have a standard to compare it to. And we need to have the mind of Christ. God's word is his standard. His glory is his standard. But Jesus Christ is the will of God in motion. He's the first among many. God sowed his son to reap you. Can I tell you something? That's why you're more than a conqueror. Because guess what? You get to reap where you didn't sow. God sent his son, sowed his son, so that his sons and daughters could reap the benefits of sonship. And the benefits of sonship is being reconciled back to all of the things the Father glorifies. That you now have access to in the midst of the burden, and you can have faith in, and when you have faith in it, there's a convergence zone in the midst of your problem because God lands on you. Things change around you, but can I tell you something? When you pray, God wants to change things in you. So that when you're in the midst of the battle, if the only, watch, maybe the only thing that's changing is your passion and it's growing, not diminishing. Maybe it's your joy growing and not diminishing. Because your hope is on the incline, because God is speaking to your soul, because you refuse to be anxious for nothing, but you're going to go to the bank account and say, God, reconcile my mind. Because your mind needs to come in union with Christ and the understanding that you are one with Christ. And sometimes the greatest thing we lack is the understanding of who we are. And if we can change our perspective and believe who we are, then I believe confessions and declarations would be different, and we would see crops of harvest because we're the right harvest, heavenly harvest, because we're planting the right seeds with our declarations, and our declarations is the byproduct of our perspective. And if we can get our mind to be reconciled back to and be in union with our identity in Christ, then it can form a declaration in the midst of crisis that looks like Christ. When you plant a seed, you're expecting that seed to produce what you planted. So when you're in the midst of a battle, we're covering a lot, get the CD. But when you're in the midst of the battle, sometimes you've got to go into that glory room and say, God, give me the right perspective because I want to have the right declaration in the midst of the circumstance. Because I want to plant a seed in the midst of the atmosphere with my words because I've been given authority. I've been given authority to bind and to loose, to speak and see things created. So in the midst of the circumstance, God, can you just get, because God says, I want you to be able to function in the battle. Because I've never left you nor forsake you. I'm with you in the battle. It's not like you're going to God, he's here and you're there. But I'm just trying to give you an illustration of the dual citizenship that you have and the authority you have on earth to call the things and the authority you have in heaven to call forth the things from heaven onto earth. Like your father, Genesis 1, he called things to be as though they were. And we're now living in the words that he spoke that were a seed that manifested something that we all get to partake in. Your words will frame the world that you live in. Can I tell you something? If you have the wrong perspective, but you want a different harvest, you need to get the right harvest. I'm sorry, you need to get the right perspective that matches the harvest that you want. Well, God, I want this, but man, this circumstance is so big, and I just don't think I'm ever going to get there. You want to live in that world? If these signs follow them that believe, I wonder what follows those who doubt. I don't know when I started, but we might be here for a little bit more. But because watch this. I'm not going to be much longer, but watch. Sometimes the greatest thing that needs to change, I'm a builder. You got to listen to every block I'm laying because it's all going to come together at the end. Watch, you don't know something is off unless you have a standard to compare it to. And watch this. The thing I want to prophesy over you tonight is according to God's word, that is what you're destined to. And I'm not just saying this written word. I'm talking about the word that was logos that became rhema through Christ. And even the rhema words that he's speaking and declaring through the Spirit of God today on this earth called prophecy. All of those things point to the standard of heaven. And it reveals here on earth the things that are off. And if those things that are off, like an unreconciled account, we need to have faith and hope in the midst of that thing that is off, that's not lining up with God's standard. We need to believe God and I will make the correct adjustments that will bring the alignment that that thing needs, where it converges with God and becomes one with God, to where God glorifies us in it and we glorify him in it. Do you get what I'm saying? But sometimes the circumstance isn't the only thing that's off. Again, it's our mind. And your experience is hinged on your perspective. What you're going to experience is hinged on what you perceive and what you choose to believe. Well, how do you know that to be true? There's several illustrations, but Numbers 13 and 14. Moses sends the spies into the land, 12 of them. 10 of them come back with a negative report. And isn't it crazy? I don't have a message for this yet because I don't have a revelation on it yet, but isn't it crazy that the enemy didn't just affect one, he affected a whole generation. He affected the generation of influence by their report. And I don't have my full finger on that yet. But I do know that there was a negative report and a whole generation never stepped into the promised land because of their perspective. They still had an experience, but it was not the one that matched God's standard. Covenant eyes, like Bill was talking about last night, we need to have a convergence in our head where we actually believe what God is speaking and declaring, because I'm a builder, so that we can actually express what we believe. You know, a lot of times your trial is just the enemy throwing a fit because you actually believe what God says. He's just throwing a temper tantrum and trying one more time to get you to back down and intimidate you because you've actually stepped onto his property that he has housed and lived in for so long. And the reason he lived there so long is there was people that came before you, generations of influence that did not give you a good report. And they were intimidated off of property that had their name on it and they walked away. One of my assignments is to go and to take that back territory that others cowarded and didn't take. I'm not saying I'm doing this with all great success right now, but I'm learning and growing. And can I tell you something? I want to have the right perspective when the enemy's throwing a fit. Sometimes, yes, we are completely as one, a convergent zone. But sometimes I believe there still is accounts that are off, and it's the way that we think. And your experience is hinged on your perspective of your future and your perspective of him and your perspective of you. So what experience do you want? Because not only does your words frame the world that you live in, and I believe your words are the byproduct, your declarations are the byproduct of your perspective. Because your perspective is what's feeding your heart. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And what's feeding your perspective fills your heart, and then it fills the atmosphere with words. What kind of words are they? That's why we got to be anxious for nothing, but go into the throne room and say, God, there's some thoughts that are off right now, and I'm tired of responding to the enemy like this. Change something in my perspective so that I can go back into this situation with a new perspective. You know what I kind of picture? I'm just going to get loose here for a second. I picture like Rocky and that like really like, you, the old guy, remember the Rocky movies and like the really old guy that's like, come on, you can get, you know, with the like really graspy voice. I don't know why, but I picture Charlie when he's in his 90s looking like that. You know what I'm saying? Hey, come here now. No, but anyways, listen. But remember in the Rocky movies, he's just pumping him up on the sidelines when Rocky doesn't think it's going to work. Come on, you can do this. You got this and all the other stuff, slamming the mat and things like that. Like, I believe Charlie's going to be that radical as an old man. Get in there. Do it. You know what I mean? It's just, it's a good thing. And I'm like, man, I don't know. And he's like, boy, get in there. You know, and just, but I feel like that's God. I feel like that's God. Because God, listen, that old man still had a part in the battle, but Rocky had to be the one to fight. Hello? God will help and assist your fight of faith by encouraging your faith and giving you a word that defines where he's taking you if you just be persistent and trust him. Hello? So guess what? When you go to God in prayer, Holy Spirit will give you the right perspective by giving you a word to create a harvest in your soul. Then you come into the circumstance proclaiming, declaring, declaration, byproduct of your perspective, the right things, believing for the right harvest. And you go into that throne room, he changes your mind. Come on, get in there. And you get back in there with the right perspective, and he can change the trajectory of your experience by, watch this, kindling your faith, by stirring your faith, and you're no longer having your faith quenched by the circumstance. Whoa. Is that okay? That almost fell. Now I'm just playing. But I'm closing right now. Watch this. There is so much, man, that I could go on, but I feel like God is bringing, revealing a plumb line in this season. One last little nugget. God will define your expressions and will refine your expressions when he first gets to your mind and changes the way you think. Don't be conformed to this world and its expressions. But it doesn't say that, but it's expressions. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. When your mind changes, your expressions and what you bear changes. And it goes on to what your tongue confesses. Isn't that powerful? Like, don't be conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? Because God will reveal to you the plumb line. Boy, this is what you pursue. This is what you seek. This is what you believe for in the midst of the circumstance. This is what you hold on to. This is what you be persistent in. This is what you be confident in. And everything, Ryan, if you trust that, everything that is out of alignment, that actually has been exposed because my standard has been refined and defined to you, if you put your trust in my standard, I and you will adjust and align the things that are off because I value you. And I honor and will always marvel over that kind of faith. The prophetic word that I have, and we're going to pray, the prophetic word that I have leading into all of this is that everything that God will expose in this season, and I've said this Thursday, I'm going to say it now, exposure is coming to this region. And you know what? God needs to instill some of the right perspectives in this church because the leadership and the church here is going to have to deal with the exposure. Because you have a pastor who is an apostle, who is a father, and he'll refuse to have church when all of this stuff is going on in your community. And you need to take the DNA of your father, of this house, if this is your house, you need to take on that DNA and say, you know what, I refuse to just have cute church and not go into the community and fight, even if it's just for one. But can I tell you something? God is exposing what is out of alignment, and he's revealing in this season what is off. And through your declaration and your perspective and your faith in the standard, you can see God alter those things, change those things, and bring those things into alignment and bring adjustments and bring those things into an alignment with his standard. The prophetic word that I have to tie this message together is I believe the things that this church and you personally as individuals have been praying for, being persistent in, you're about ready to see adjustments and you're about ready to see those things pulled into alignment. Because God says, I did not reveal my standard to hear myself talk. I revealed my standard to change the perspective of those who call themselves kingdom kids, where they will stand and be persistent and believe in that standard being manifested in their circumstances, their community circumstances, and their brother and sister circumstances. Because some of you have to stand in the gap for someone else. But whatever you've been praying for, whatever you've been in the trenches seeking God for, if it's off and not in union with what God has reconciled you back to, if you are reconciled back to the glory and the fullness of God, and something that belongs to you that God doesn't want to remove from your life, even though I think there's some pruning and purging, and that's a different prophetic word right now, but the things that belong to you that are not, or that are falling short of that glory, if it's your finances, your marriage, or something that's just kind of thrown a wrench into it, you need to say, I'm not going to live out there with this thing that's not reconciled and falling short of the glory. I'm in the glory. I am reconciled. And I am calling forth those things. And I am praying and believing for adjustment in those things. And God's going to bring an alignment of those things. But I believe God wanted me to preach what I preach. You have dual citizenship. You can pray and have that kind of authority and believe for and be part of the chiropractic team of heaven and adjust things through your declarations and perspective and faith and bring into an alignment with God. If Christ did it and you're in him, you can do it on this earth. I can do all things. And bring those things back into alignment and bring the adjustments that you need. The other thing that I believe prophetically with all of this is things that you have been praying for and believing for, you're about ready to see some major adjustments. Because can I tell you something? You are not supposed to hang out under the bridge in a tent with something that belongs to you that has fallen short of the glory. You are one with the glory, and you need to pray and believe. And if your perspective gets off, your declaration gets off, your persistency gets off, your faith is lacking, let God kindle it all. Let God stir it in prayer. Be anxious for nothing. Don't go and hang out under the bridge with that thing. Because can I tell you something? That thing that belongs to you that is falling short of what God glorifies was not supposed to be homeless. It has a home. Did you hear what I just said? So stop acting like you don't have a home and a father that cares about you and just go hang out in your soak, like your misery. Oh, woe's me. This thing is just being bothered and tested right now. No, be confident. This thing is not immersed in the glory, but I'm believing that it's going to be immersed in the glory. I'm going to believe that that thing that is falling short is going to be overwhelmed by the glory of God. And I'm not going to leave the glory of God and act like I'm a person without a home. I am going to say, I'm living in home. I'm staying at home. And that thing that belongs to me has to come back home. God says, I am bringing back the prodigal belongings, the things that belong to you. Hello? Because can I tell you something? It was when there was a shift of the perspective of the prodigal son, he actually mustered up enough courage to go home and ask if he could be a servant. Can I tell you something? When you get a changed perspective, those things that you think are homeless, those prodigal things that belong to you that God doesn't want to prune and purge but wants to refine, you start calling those things back home. You start mustering up enough courage and faith to say, you need to get back here. Hello? And you now start declaring and prophesying over that thing, things to be as though they are. Not establishing a home, but from your home, you prophesy and declare that those things are going to come home and step into what Jesus went and prepared for and reconciled you to. I believe your prodigal belongings, I believe your prodigal rights that have kind of wandered off are coming back home. And I don't even know, I never thought of it like this before. But it's because of your changed perspective. And Pastor, please hear me. Mark my word, not my words, but God's. I honestly believe I'm pouring this from the archives of heaven right now for this church. Things that you have been pleading in a place of desperation, but out of radical faith. God, I plead with you. I'm believing for this. I believe you're about ready to see adjustments, alterations. And I really honestly believe that you're about ready to see a divine alignment that's going to break your heart with God's goodness and overwhelm you. And it's going to form of change of repentance. Like it's going to bring repentance and a change in you to where you're going to have a greater aggression for the things of heaven than you've ever had before. Out of the demonstration of heaven that I believe is coming. So do you understand what I'm saying? You're reconciled back to the fullness of God. But you got to call those things that are wandered off back. Come back, prodigal belonging, so to speak. You are the righteousness of God. You are blessed. You are good. Your declarations change whenever you have a change of perspective, and your experiences are hinged on your perspective and declarations. I see in the Spirit declarations and perspectives and expectations in the middle, and your experience is hinged on those three things. One, watch your expectation, perspective, and declarations will summons the things of heaven here on this earth. Or it will always give permission for the things of hell to continue to wreak havoc in your life. Did you hear that? Stand with me. Divine alignment, y'all. Watch this. I got to a place where I thought whatever happened, happened. And you know what? I reacted more than I responded. Why is it that the body of Christ reacts to hell but doesn't bother responding to heaven? You go into your dual citizenship and be anxious for nothing, but in prayer. I don't know if you understand this. There's a realm you go into with God where you're conversing with God who's in you, but also there. He's omnipresent and he's with everyone else. And when you pray, you're actually conversing with a realm that is greater than the thing that you might be caught up in. And God wants us to stop reacting to hell. He wants us to start responding to what he reveals to us from heaven. It's perspective. And call those things that belong to you back. But I believe you're going to see adjustment and you're going to see alignment. And you're going to see yourselves converge with what God desires, which is called his standard. And there's going to be convergence zones, collision things, and it's going to change you. And it's going to change people. You change what's around you when you let God change what's in you. And when you allow God to change your perspective, it forms an expectation and a declaration out of that expectation that will alter the things around you. And I don't know about you, but God has given us all authority to prophesy and to declare. I'm not commissioning you to be prophets, but you have the right to declare a thing and believe that your declarations are seeds that are going to reap some type of harvest. Stop speaking the wrong words over your life and wondering why you're reaping what you are. It's time you change your perspective and confession and expectation, and you'll see a different result around you. If changing the way you think changes the expressions of your life, it changes your declarations over your life. So with every head bowed, man, every eye closed, real quick, I sound so churchy right now, but every head bowed, every eye closed. You can co-labor with God to bring convergence on the earth. With every head bowed, every eye closed, Father, I pray right now you move in a mighty way. Do you know one definition for convergence is one thing or two things, they stop being different and they become one. God wants your mind to stop being opposite. Watch this. I got to say this. Isaiah 55:8, your ways are not my ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. But then 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says this, eyes haven't seen, nor ears heard, nor did it enter into the heart of man what God has for those who love him. But God has given us a spirit, his spirit, that we may know those things that have been freely given to us by God. What is that saying? It's saying he wants you to start seeing, he wants you to start doing. He wants you to start having his thoughts and having his ways. So you have a convergent. Your mind has a convergence with God. Your heart has a convergence with God. And now you speak convergences, so to speak, on this earth by letting heaven change you first. Does that make sense? So, Father, I pray right now that everyone would just get real with us right now. And, Father, I thank you that if there's anyone in this room that has been getting caught up by the circumstance and has been reacting to hell rather than responding to heaven, and, Father, if they want to see a change in that, Father, I pray that they would be humble enough to just lift their hands because you want to fix some things tonight. You want some convergent zones and perspectives and hearts. Some of you might say, man, I have the wrong perspective. I've got the wrong heart right now. I've got the wrong motives. My thoughts aren't God's thoughts. God wants to change that and have a convergence with your soul, your mind, will, and emotions, and your heart so that your ways become his ways, your thoughts become his thoughts become your thoughts, his ways become your ways. But right now, I feel like in sense in the room, there's some of you where you're saying, I just feel like my mind isn't his mind and my ways haven't been his ways because of my mind. And instead of having the right heavenly perspective and expectation and declaration, I've been having the wrong expectation, perspective, and declaration. And hell has continued to ransack my life and I've blamed God when I haven't pulled from God in intimacy in a long time. It's time that you come and pull from the pools of intimacy. If you need adjustments and alignments, God wants you prayed for too. But if you're here right now and you're saying, Ryan, let me do that. If you need some adjustments and alignments and you need some things to come into adjustment and come into alignment and it first is concerning your mind, like that needs adjusted. That needs some direction and alteration. That needs to come into divine alignment with God's plumb line. That needs to become one as I am one with heaven. My thoughts haven't been his thoughts, but I want them to be. Please pray for me. Lift up your hands right now. If you're saying this has been making sense, can you just pray right now? I want you to lift up your hands. My mind hasn't been God's mind. It's been way off of the plumb line, and I need God to adjust my perspective. God is giving some people the right perspective so you have the right expectation and declaration. So God.